Well, we want to welcome everyone to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and we're excited today. I'm Larry Chappell. I'm here with my dad, Pastor Chappell, and we're excited today to talk about the topic of stress and stress in ministry.
Well, we are excited to talk about it. We're not always excited to experience it, but our topic today is dealing with pastoral stress, and I find that we have more and more circumstances surrounding us in ministry today that create stress, and whether it's the uncivil culture in which we minister or whether it's financial stress. I've dealt with pastors in the past month who have had family stress, sometimes dealing with problems in the church. So it's a reality. In fact, the Bible says in the world, you're gonna have tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And today, Larry, we wanna talk about how to overcome some of that stress.
And I think there's a lot of applications for ministry leaders, pastors, because no one's exempt from experiencing stress. But Dad, I feel like the Lord has taught you many things. I know there's been seasons of stress. And so I'm excited today to hear some of the things, and I think some of the viewers as well, to hear some of the things that the Lord has taught you about handling stress.
Well, it's funny, Larry, because I was with Dr. Sisk last week, and we had just experienced a great missions conference. And one of the highlights for me is just getting in the car and driving around with Brother Sisk, getting some coffee. And there are some areas of stress that I have not always dealt well with. And I was telling him, I said, I think you'll be proud of me, Brother Sisk, because certain things have happened and it hasn't bothered me as much. And we thank the Lord for his grace and his strength along the way, because sometimes we experience the same trials a few times, maybe until we learn from the Lord how to appropriate his grace. And really, that leads me to my first thought today as far as dealing with stress, and that is, as leaders, we must continually grow in grace. And, you know, the Bible says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And grace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. And for me, when I'm, say, criticized, or when there's maybe several things going wrong at church or elsewhere all at once, it's easy to worry. It's easy to want to, you know, fight your way through it. But really, when God gives you that inner strength and peace, it's so much better. And, you know, the Bible teaches the principle of contentment and learning to be content in whatsoever state we're in. And I find that the longer you're saved and serving, and for me, looking back over 40 years of ministry, I can truly begin to see more and more and more of the sovereign hand of God. You know, God's in this. God's going to teach me through it. He's going to do something through it. So I really would say, to begin with, growing in grace is something not just, you know, for the average Christian out there. It's for every Christian out there, and especially for those of us who are right at the forefront of leading the church.
I love the thought. I heard a preacher one time say that the text doesn't say appear in grace. It says to grow in grace. And so right. This is something that we always have to come back to. What are some practical ways that you've seen the Lord grow you in grace?
Well, you know, the psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So one of the practical ways for me has been to go to the scriptures. And I mean, when you're going through a time, just to spend more time learning the statutes of God. So going to the scriptures is paramount. Secondly, seeking counsel. And especially, as I mentioned, Dr. Sisk a moment ago, who's now 90, he's been through it a time or two. But I've found that having a few older mentors and friends who've been through some times where they had financial shortfalls or health challenges, whatever, it has helped me immensely to just get a perspective. So those are two very practical ways.
I think Brother Sisk has famously told you a few times to take a baby aspirin and give it to the Lord. So it's good to have that counsel.
Yeah, and that's that perspective. You know, when he tells me to take a baby aspirin, he knows that what I'm facing is maybe hurtful to me, but it's not insurmountable with God. And you really do need that. The second principle that I have been learning is this principle, and that is wait on the Lord. I'm a doer. I like to get things done, check off my to-do list. And especially if there's a problem with reconciling people within the church or reconciling with others, But sometimes it's best to set back and let the Holy Spirit do some of that work in people's lives. And the psalmist said, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And there may be someone today watching this podcast or listening, and you're going through something that is just not fixing fast. And I think, to me, I've had to learn to wait on God's timing and to learn that his timing is always best.
Yeah, we live in such a immediate gratification society and culture that we want all of our problems fixed here and now. I know I've been guilty of that too. So what are some practical ways then to wait on the Lord, or some times in your life where you can look back and say, this was not according to my timetable, but God really taught me how to wait on him through this?
Well, one area has been building programs. You know, we've built so many large buildings, and we've had seasons of floods where, you know, it's obviously God allowing a delay, right? So we just had to just trust in God's timing on that. Other times have been with respect to staffing. And you have a staff, 37 years we've been here. You have staff coming and going, and you need to add staff, and or someone goes on to another ministry, and you're like, man, how are we going to fill that? And I've really learned in this area, especially hiring, you need to wait on God, seek his peace. And he loves the church more than I do. And he sends wonderful people to our ministry, or brings them up through the ministry. And so that's been another area of just, okay, wait on the Lord. And I've seen the Lord do some great things in respect to meeting the needs of the church. And as I waited for his time.
You talk about waiting on the Lord. I think there are times too that you can rush, you know, when you don't wait on him. The opposite would be to rush into something, and then you've taken a stressful situation and complicated it.
Yeah. I think back to hiring, a lot of times pastors can do that. You just quickly want to fill a vacuum, or you want it to look like everything's just fine, and you can bring the wrong person in. And so again, waiting on the Lord is vital, because it's a lot easier to get someone in than to help them find where to go next. So
yeah.
The third principle that I have tried to cling to, and I touched on it a moment ago, Larry, but is really trusting in God's sovereignty. So growing in grace and then waiting on the Lord, but just touching on the fact that the Bible says we're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, and recognizing that he does all things well. I look back to one of the most, if not the most stressful time in my life, when you had cancer and you were in the hospital and having surgeries. And I was, so unprepared, really. It was a time when it was not anything that I was going to fix at all. God is the healer. But I had to really recognize in those seasons that God is sovereign. And there are some things that you and I cannot change. So according to God's will, he has allowed this. And though it's extremely stressful, he's going to take that time to mold us. And I read years ago, it really doesn't matter where the pressure is, or how great the pressure is. What matters is where the pressure lies. Make sure that the pressure doesn't come between you and the Lord. Let the pressure bring you closer to the Lord. And when you trust in God's sovereignty, pressure can do that.
There's been a few people in Scripture that have asked God, how long are you going to, you know, not hear or not do something? And in each of those instances, you can go and trace that God was working, whether it was Habakkuk or Moses in the book of Exodus. How long are you going to hear, you know, your people in affliction? But he was working behind the scenes in each of those instances. And that has to be something that you've experienced as well, where you waited, you trusted, you grew in grace, and then that moment where God brought it all together.
Right. And the other thing too, take, for example, criticism. When you're criticized and you feel it's unjust, as you trust the sovereignty of God and wait on the Lord, a lot of that seems very trivial a month later. You're like, why did I let that bother me so much? And so all in all, God has a purpose for it.
Yeah.
Well, the fourth principle that I think is important in dealing with stress is the principle of forgiveness. I have found that a lot of times the hurt and stress of ministry can be very personal. We're told that the average person will lose about 4 to 7 friends in their lifetime through some difficulty and some severance. A pastor will lose 4 to 7 people per year from his life, the average pastor, because pastors love the congregation. They want peace amongst the congregation. And so some of those are just, you know, normal moving or this and that. But sometimes there's these conflicts that come in ministry. And maybe it's philosophical, maybe it's some misunderstanding, whatever it is. And I really believe, Larry, that if someone's going to have peace through the long term, you have to learn how to just forgive someone. Even if you feel they faulted you, or even if there's, you know, misunderstanding, giving it to the Lord and not living with it year after year, day after day. And the Bible tells us that Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Ephesians chapter 4 says, "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us." And I guess my point here is, you already have the burden of, say, a hurt or the church growth or your family needs. To carry unforgiveness on top of that is too heavy.
You know, the cliche goes to forgive and forget, but I mean, we're human. We can't actually forget. So that's why I think the direction from Scripture in Ephesians is so great, because God is sovereign. Yep. Yet when he forgets, he's choosing not to remember our sin against us.
Yeah.
And such a great example for us.
And in leadership, there's always going to be people that disagree with something you do, or people throwing shade on what you do. It's never going to change. And the more you study great leaders in the Bible, it was that way for them as well. And I remember one time talking with Dr. Sisk about Lee Robertson, because I had asked Dr. Robertson when I was maybe 30 years old or so, I said, "Dr. Robertson, did you ever have critics in the community or people that didn't really appreciate your church and that type of thing?" And Dr. Robertson said, "Never had it, never had it." I'll never forget that. I thought, how do you have a church of 6,000 or 7,000? No one ever says anything negative. So I asked Dr. Sisk, I said, "Is it true that Dr. Robertson never had a critic?" And Dr. Sisk started just cracking up. He said, "People all over town hated him, you know, because he was a strong preacher and so forth." But then I stepped back, and the dominating thought of Lee Robertson's life was death to self. And he was such a spiritual man that he just did not allow those things to even be real to him. He gave them to the Lord. So forgiveness is definitely critical and needed in ministry. The fifth principle when going through super stressful times is to seek godly counsel. And the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. And I find that if we're not careful, we make really bad decisions, Larry, when we're stressed out. And I always tell our members, don't make a major decision in your life when you're in a valley. So I think to get counsel, and so whether that is on how much should we borrow for a building, or whether that is on how do I deal with this guy that got bent out of shape over whatever, talking to someone that's been down those roads before is really, really helpful.
Yeah.
And I would just encourage you today, friends, that if you have come up against something that seems insurmountable, God is able. And then find someone that you can just reach out to and talk to them. And he'll use his family, his body, to minister to you. I think the sixth principle that I want to mention here as far as working through the times of stress is to step back and make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Larry, you know this is an area where I've had to try to learn and grow. And what I mean here is just literally taking time for rest. You know, Jesus had people coming and going, and several times in the New Testament he said, come apart into a desert place and rest a while. And I find that nothing helps me deal with stress like just a good night's sleep, or maybe a couple days with mom, just where we're walking and having a few meals and, you know, exercising. Those times get me refreshed to come back and really hit it hard. And so let me encourage you, take rest, take time to exercise, to eat well. Because if you're not feeling well physically, on top of bearing all of the stress, it will catch up with you. And I don't know what hits your reset button. Some guys it's golf, sometimes it's riding a bike. Whatever it is, don't feel guilty to do it. Because as God's men, we need to be refreshed and ready for the challenges ahead.
Describe for us like your calendar process. Because I know when you talk about rest, you're really intentional about this. And it's something that gets planned out. Some things are more demanding and maybe require a little bit more recovery. Talk through that.
Well, for example, Larry, we're in a very busy season right now. We've just had missions conference. I'm preaching at Striving Together conference in West Virginia next week. So there's definitely a little busy time there. Thankfully, when I'm at home, I'm fairly regular at exercise. I know I don't always look like a specimen of great exercise, but I can get on the elliptical and try to go for 40 minutes or so. I try to eat better, and then secondly, right now in this busy season, I'm kind of looking ahead to the week after next, which is Thanksgiving week, and so it's important, I believe, to have on the calendar some times where we're going to be surrounded by people that love us and we love them. We're going to have a little extra time to rest, maybe catch ahead on some study. So I think the expending of rhythm and then the time of rest, the expending of energy and the time of rest, rather, creates the rhythm that we need in the ministry. And I would encourage you today that if there's something that you feel in your heart towards a need for rest or exercise or medical exams or whatever it might be, don't neglect yourself, because stress can deteriorate your health. Stress is a silent killer, and we need to make sure that we're looking to our physical needs as well. Well, I believe the seventh principle is to really give attention to relational health. And the Bible tells us that God is able to make all grace abound towards us. And I think we must recognize that we need God's grace when it comes to relational health. And I read a quote one time that said, pay more attention to your friends than to your critics. And you're going to find that there are relationships that just drain from you. So it's important that you get with people that replenish you as well. And that you have time for good relational health. The Bible teaches us, if it's at all possible, to dwell with all people in peace. And we need to strive for that in every sense of the word. Sometimes in life, there might be situations or people with whom that doesn't seem like it's really working. But there again, I can control my heart from the standpoint of not being bitter and being as relationally healthy as I possibly can. And I'm so thankful for a healthy church and for the good, healthy relationships that I enjoy in life. I think yesterday, Larry, of the prayer meeting we had for Dr. R.B. Ouellette, and had a couple hundred pastors on that call, and it was just uplifting. And we need people to pray for us, and we need to pray with them. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe that just having good, vital, and healthy relationships helps us to deal with the stressful days.
I love the verse that you quote. I always find it humorous where Paul wrote, if it's at all possible to live peaceably, indicating that some people, it's just that you're not going to gel, or that peace is not going to be possible. And perhaps it's a decision that needs to be made, that this is a toxic friendship or relationship. So anyway, I always find that.
No, I find that interesting too. And there are some people out there that are pathological antagonists. Mm-hmm. They're just experts at it. A lot of them live on the internet. And one time I was talking to missionary Rick Martin in the Philippines and about this, that sometimes it's just hard to reach out to certain ones because all they want to do is bring up the disagreement or argue about something. And he said that in the Philippines, there's a lot of dogs that are rabid. And he said, you learn quickly that you don't just try to pet every dog in the Philippines, because some of them have rabies. And so he said, and you learn that in the ministry. He said, there are some people that they're so nice and friendly, and there's other people, no matter what you do, if you're trying to give them a biscuit, he said, a dog, it'll bite you, maybe give you rabies. And so there are some dear people that's how they function.
Yeah.
And when you're living surrounded by some of those circumstances, to have a replenishing friend is very, very important.
So we're talking about stress, and relationships are so important, because you've given both examples here of someone that can add to that stress, or someone that can come and carry the burden of that stress. And so I think relationships there being so important.
It is true that a good spiritual man can take a potentially big problem and make it small. A carnal man takes a little thing and makes it big. And some of these that are antagonistic, they'll take the littlest difference and just argue about it. But then when you get with a friend, a godly person, they kind of take that which seems so big and they bring it back in, and by the end of your day with a good friend, it's like, ah, that wasn't that big of a deal anyway. So I think that is so very important. And, you know, to have friends that you can pray with, talk scripturally with about the problems you're facing. And I think the final principle that is very important in dealing with stress is that you just determine up front not to quit. When mom and I were dating, you know, everybody was always worried about what is the ministry going to do to our marriage? And it was kind of this big stress question. We determined a couple of things. We determined, first of all, that no matter how bad things ever got, we would not be too proud to get counsel. And there was at least one time I can remember when we did go get counsel back in the early 90s. We had some dear friends that fell out of ministry. Our church was growing very rapidly. Mom and I weren't necessarily arguing all the time or something, but we just weren't enjoying ministry and marriage together. And so we went and sought a biblical marriage counselor, and he kind of put me in my place about ministering to mom more and slowing down on ministry things. And it was a great decision. But then the second decision that we made, besides that we would get counsel, was that we were not going to quit. You know, we just decided that, as you know, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that, you know, we're not going to hide the gospel. We're not going to quit and be silent for the Lord. And if you need to take rest, if you need to get counseling, if you need to take a sabbatical, all of those things. But I urge you today, don't let the devil get you out of the ministry. Don't let the stress push you that far, because God will make an escape. He always promises that he will make an escape, and that no temptation is so great that we cannot find that way of escape. And so I really believe that pastoral stress is heightened. You know, we had COVID. Now we're having, you know, so much hatred in our culture. We're seeing America change so rapidly. But there is a strength and a grace from God, from his church, from his people. And we need to experience that each and every day.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this has been a help to you, and I've enjoyed the conversation. If you could help us out by leaving a review or sharing this podcast, we'd love to get the word out. We've got more great episodes coming in 2024. We're so thankful for what the Lord is doing here and what the Lord is doing in your life as well. So thanks for tuning in for the podcast today.